devotional will be taken from the book of 1 Peter. We'll be looking at chapter 2, 1 Peter chapter 2. Hopefully everybody's week is going good and you're enjoying the spring slash summer weather that we're having. We know throughout the scriptures there's so many examples of human lives, both godly living, faithfully serving the Lord, examples worth our imitation and study. And then you also have those who departed from God's law, those who did not respect and honor Him, whose lives demonstrate that which we want to avoid because of the fall that we see taking place in their lives. But there are some passages that simply give us specific instruction as to how we should live. And Peter does that here. This epistle, of course, being written to the pilgrims of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God. These are members of the body of Christ, those who are scattered abroad, but those who are of God's family. And as members of God's family, isn't it the case that we should reflect the nature, the way of living, the way of being as our Father? Shouldn't we imitate or be like Him? And thus, these words here in 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning at verse 11, remind us of the manner in which pilgrims ought to live. We're passing through. We're moving from a place not really our home, a place filled with darkness, inhabited by a people that are most people godless, do not follow, do not submit to the ways of God. And thus, we are a very unusual group, small in number, but living in a world that belongs to God, but will one day be destroyed by God. And to these people, Peter says, "Beloved, I beg you, as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak evil or speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation." Here Peter describes those to whom he writes as what in actuality we all are if we're Christians. People that are temporarily inhabiting a place that they will move from to possess one day a place that will be their forever habitation. So heaven is the place that we're looking forward to, but while we're here, as we live in this life, clothed with a fleshly body, we have to have a certain mindset that he says that will help us make it from here to there. And that mindset is that we're here passing through, and that we are to keep ourselves from desires tied to this fleshly body. Again, it's a temporary body, just like the place that we inhabit is temporary. And he says, you abstain from those desires, which do what? He says, they war against the soul. The soul is the part of us that endures and will exist forever. We choose where? Heaven or hell. But he says there are desires that you have as a part of this fleshly body that will literally destroy through warfare the part of you that God desires to inhabit heaven. It's a warfare that is waged while we're here in this life. And of course, Satan has a part in this process through the temptations that he throws our way, through the various means that he seeks to discourage us or cause us to depart from God. But then there's those things that just relate to being a fleshly, mortal being. Those things that are part of the nature that God has created us with, which is actually good. There's nothing that God has made that is wicked or evil, but rather when the nature that God has created us with calls us to fulfill certain desires, we as God's people must understand the lawful ways that desires we've been created with can be fulfilled. When we choose to reject God's instructions, and we don't seek out His guidance, then how easy it is for us to be guilty of sin, indulging fleshly desires, which then, gratified in an improper fashion, they, as he says here, war against the soul. Desire in and of itself is not evil unless it is fulfilled in a manner out of harmony with God's will. And that's what he's speaking about here. We must have a mindset then to do what? Abstain. That word is very comprehensive and it does not allow for any little bit of playing with sin, you might say. Abstain from these fleshly desires at war against the soul means that those things that cause us to be moving in the direction away from God instead of toward Him, he says, you completely separate yourself from those things. Completely. You abstain from them. And he talks about the manner in which we live in verse 12, having your conduct, the way that you conduct your daily affairs should be described here as honorable among those around you in the world. The Gentiles refers to those who are outside of the body. Of course, all of us that are non-Jews in terms of that bloodline are classified as Gentiles. But here he's talking about those that are not members of the body, those who are outside of the family of God. When you live your life, do it in such a way that even they can see this is honorable living, as opposed to how some Christians have chosen to live. In fact, you have in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 an example of conduct that even the Gentiles knew was corrupt. A man had his father's wife, something not even named among the Gentiles. Here he says, live your life in such a way that your conduct is honorable. And any Christian who devotes himself, herself, to being faithful to do all that God says, and is very serious about that, is going to live in a way that even the world can see. That's honorable. That person is a good person. The world even recognizes that. And he says, you live your life in such a fashion that even when they, these Gentiles, even when they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works which they observe glorify God in the day of visitation. There were those who accused the Apostle Paul of being an evildoer. Clearly he was not. He was going from place to place, taking the glad tidings of salvation through Christ and showing people what they had to do to have their sins forgiven and begin a journey toward heaven, eternal life. And yet, they looked at his teaching as threatening. Sometimes it threatened their beliefs. Sometimes it threatened their livelihood, like those who made idols. But there are many ways in which good people will be classified by worldly people as being evildoers, because it's the nature of humanity that there comes a time when good is called evil and evil is called good. Such a perversion of basic understanding of right and wrong can take place where that happens. So that there can be times where we might live godly but be accused of evil. And yet he says you can live your life in such a way that when this day of visitation comes, when God visits mankind and holds men accountable and asks men to basically answer for what they have said and done and all conduct in this life, that there will be, as he says, a glorification of God. When our lives, in fact, reflect God-likeness, God will and is always glorified by that conduct. Whether humans during this lifetime recognize it or not, that's what we're doing. We're honoring God, glorifying God, lifting up His name when we conduct ourselves as children of light, like the salt of the earth. But in the end, all men will recognize that and glorify God when our conduct is examined in the final analysis. And so as Peter says, making the point about godly living for Christians, he says in verse 13, therefore, in other words, because you must honorably conduct yourselves before the Gentiles, what should you do? submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to kings as supreme or to governors as those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and the praise of those who do good. He says, for this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. They would live in societies, Christians would during this period of time, under governments, whether it be national leaders or local leaders, who would have laws and expectations, customs, various things that would be required of the people, of the citizens. A Christian must, if he's going to honor God, if he's going to allow God to be glorified one day by his conduct, he must submit, as Peter describes here, his life to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. So, during this time, under the Roman Empire, and under even Jewish customs that were part of some of the laws that were local in places like the area of Palestine, the Christian would be expected to honor those, keep those, submit his life to those, keep them as if you were keeping the laws of God, which in fact in Romans chapter 13 is explained that when we violate the laws of men, we are in essence violating the law of God, because God says, honor those laws, keep those laws. And that, of course, is inasmuch as we are able to, where those laws do not in any way contradict the law of God. Some laws during this time could not be kept or honored, especially regarding commands that came from certain leaders and rulers where they said, do not preach anymore in the name of Jesus Christ. Anything like that, of course, would require us to fear and obey God rather than men. But the point he makes here is that through the lives that we live and through our conduct, including whether or not we honor and take seriously the laws under which we live, we can either bring glory to God or bring shame to his name. Our conduct before the world is to be such that when men and women see it in our society, they think nothing but good in regard to it. They cannot point to a Christian and say, look at that hypocrite. He claims to follow the Bible, but he violates the very teaching of the Bible that says, keep the laws under which you live. We can honor and glorify God through daily activity, daily conduct that is in keeping with his will. And therefore, he says, concerning us as free, which we are, yet not using liberty as a cloak for vice, but as bondservants of God. So we are, in fact, a free people. We are a part of a kingdom that is spiritual in nature. All the kingdoms under which Christians live today will one day be destroyed, but that doesn't mean we are free to live in submission to the laws of these other kingdoms that are temporary. In fact, he says, no, but you as bondservants of Christ, submit to them. He says, honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. And so our attitude toward all, men in general, our family in Christ, our Father above, the ultimate authority, and even the authorities that he has put in place, the kings and the rulers of various sorts, we must have the proper attitude toward, so that in all things we can honor God through how we live. We are, whether we realize it or not, are having a tremendous influence upon the people around us every single day that we live and carry on in our lives and conduct ourselves as we do. Our conduct, then, we must carefully consider. Think about every day the way that I act, you act, how we speak, how we treat people, whether or not we take a strong stand for what is right or we yield and just do like everybody else. So many things are means by which we can lift up our God to the world and show ourselves to be true disciples. In fact, our lives should be a continual everyday confession that Jesus is Lord of this life. At the same time, we need to remember that our lives can be a denial of the Lord, Titus 1 and verse 16. But that if we have been failing to honor Him, that there is the remedy right before us, the word that we can follow, return to, and begin to live faithfully so that heaven will one day be our home. God desires to bring each and every one of us to His side forevermore. And if you're not yet a Christian, the way that that begins is by acknowledging Jesus Christ as God's Son, having faith that He is the Savior of the world, and then living according to His teaching. He teaches us that we must turn away from sin and submit ourselves to the way of purity described in the pages of this great book. That we must confess our faith that Jesus Christ is God's Son and then be baptized or washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, submerged in water, but truly and genuinely cleansed by the blood that is applied in that act of obedience. Tonight, if you're not a Christian, you can change all of that by obedience to God's simple plan. And if one who is living for the Lord continue that life of faithfulness, you may stumble at times, but always resume the walk. But if you've strayed and your life is not a reflection of faithful living and you need to come home to the Lord, you know tonight is an opportunity to do that as we stand and as we sing.